Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the third Sunday in Easter, Year A. Peter wraps up his Pentecost sermon in Acts to great effect. In the epistle, Peter tells disciples that the resurrection transforms everything. And in Luke, two disciples walk to Emmaus with someone who surprises them at dinner. Let's see how the passages may surprise us.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The first reading for Year A, Easter 3, is the Book of Acts, Chapter 2, the first part of verse 14, and then jumping all the way almost to the end to read 36 through 41. The lectionary committee seems to have decided to leave that first part of verse 14 in a sort of a previously on Pentecost sort of thing. So it kind of reminds you, oh yeah, this is still Peter's Pentecost sermon, and then kind of adds the next episode. And so the episode for today is the end. So Peter finishes up with the sermon saying, therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus, both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. And then the assembled faithful in Jerusalem who were there for the Pentecost festival heard this and were cut to the heart and said, oh, what do we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized. And said, you know, goes on to talk about how this is a promise that has been from the beginning of time, and it is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls. And about 3,000 people are added to the fellowship that day, which always makes me a little jealous that you could preach a sermon like that and convert 3,000 people at one time. But that's not the point.
No, not our call.
Right, exactly.
Apparently.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
So far.
As far as we know, yeah. Okay, well, we have some special effects and illustrations for you to use in this particular passage. We have an illustration, a special effect in math, an illustration for body, an illustration and special effect in people, and an illustration and special effect in self-smart. And David's going to start us off.
Okay, so this is the math logical intelligence, and we haven't been doing much math with it lately.
It just hasn't presented itself.
It just hasn't. Maybe it has for you. Let us know if you're coming up with any
that'd be good to know.
But it's also where we tend to put some science-y sorts of things. Sometimes that goes in nature, but sometimes it goes in math logic. So that's what we've got for you today. And we're looking at the phrase that Peter uses about when he tells people to repent and what that means. Metanoio.
That's still not right. Metanoio.
Okay. Which means to have second thoughts, to change, to turn around, those sorts of things. So repentance, then, is a basic reorientation of lives with respect to Jesus. So it's like we are all pieces of metal or a compass, and Jesus is the magnetic field. And when Jesus gets close, we spin around to orient toward that attraction, toward that source.
Interesting, because Jesus draws near in the Luke passage.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay. Which we'll see.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
That's okay. The reorientation is more than just apologizing and saying, I'm sorry. It's a complete change of the way that you think and the things that you expect out of your life. And we'll actually come back to that a little bit later in Self-Smart. For a special effect here, go ahead and get a compass and a magnet and talk about how the compass points toward the magnetic pole of the Earth, but can be influenced by a more local magnetic field, like if you bring a magnet near to it, right? You can play around with how you
present these,
but our proper orientation is toward the larger, more global field of God's activity in Christ, but we're often disoriented by the local effects of this corrupt generation, as Peter refers to it. And mm-hmm. and so when the magnet comes near, we get
a little bit of a wobble.
We point away from where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, this is cool.
So you can do that. Now, of course, if you've got a magnet or a compass as a visual aid, unless you have just a handful of folks in your sanctuary, you're not going to be able to, not everybody's going to be able to see that probably, but most of them will know the effect. Mm-hmm. So you can either walk around with it so they can see what's going, or invite a few people up to show it off, or to be your Jimmy to your Mr. Wizard, right? Or you can videotape the experiment earlier and project that. Or if you have a live camera, you mm-hmm. could do that.
Oh, a live camera. That's a very good idea.
Yeah. So those would be some ways to do that. And so the science aspects of this and the math and all will be triggered for your math smart folks.
Very briefly, for Body Smart, we're looking at verse 37, where the narrator says that the people who heard this sermon were cut to the heart.
Cut to the heart. You're to blame.
No, that's a different word.
Sorry.
Anyway, thanks, earworm. So for an illustration for this about being cut to the heart, I thought about the phrase that we've all learned, those of us particularly in North America have learned, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which is a lie. And we have a couple links. I have a link to a comic panel from the comic strip XKCD about this, and another link to the psychological effects of verbal abuse on children and how that affects the development of their brains. Mm. It's really an interesting read. It's worth looking at, particularly if you have any kind of ministry with children and youth. It's very important, I think, to know that. We also have a clip from Nova, the PBS series, about heart surgery. So that's a literal cutting of the heart, but it's really interesting about how that works and what sorts of techniques are used. And
There's some information there about what happens to the heart in a heart attack and some pictures and stuff. So mm-hmm. you might be able to draw that in to talk about their wounded hearts. How about that?
I like that. Very good.
That it?
That's it. Let's go to people.
All right. People Smart. So the gathered nations in Jerusalem on Pentecost came from all over the known world. And it was kind of it's a homecoming for the big festivals. And so even though they spoke the language and dressed in the clothing of their now adopted country or
the Parthians, the Medes.
Right. Yes. All those countries. They're still God's people, and it's still their home when they come to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So have you ever thought of Pentecost as a reunion? Or have you ever thought about a reunion as a fertile ground for the breaking in of the Holy Spirit? So you can use that for an example, talk about family reunions and the things that go on there, for good or ill. And then maybe for special effects, start making plans for a Pentecost reunion party where you invite folks to come back to church.
Cool.
We also have another illustration that's about a change of heart. It's a near fairy tale reversal in real life. It's a story about Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, and how some of her schoolmates didn't treat her very well when she was in school. And now they probably wish that they had. They may be feeling like the various Israelites from all over who did not treat Jesus so well and then suddenly found out, ooh.
Oh, that's the Lord and Savior.
Ah, well, then. Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. For Self-Smart, we're looking at verse 38, where Peter talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. We looked at some ideas about what the Spirit would be like and came up with three different things that we thought would be sort of a good exercise, spiritual exercise for individuals to do. I'll just read you these statements. The first is from William Loder, our favorite Australian theologian. He says, "The time of the Spirit is always."
Mm. Cool.
And then we have a quote from Carl Jung, who says, "Space flights are merely an escape, a fleeing away from oneself, because it is easier to go to Mars or the moon than it is to penetrate one's own being."
Ooh.
And then finally, from Frederick Buechner, "To repent is to come to your senses. It's not so much something that you do as something that happens. True repentance spends less time looking at the past and saying, 'I'm sorry,' than to the future and saying, 'Wow.'" So our suggestion for these three statements, and if you go to our webpage and download the worksheet, you'll have them there in the Self-Smart illustration section. Use one of these statements as a focus for your week. When you're getting ready for the day, repeat it to yourself. Turn off your radio or music player during your morning and evening commutes and repeat this to yourself. While you eat lunch, repeat it. If you're trying to stay awake in a meeting, repeat it. Do this for a week and see what happens. See if you notice the presence of the Spirit.
Let's go on. The second reading for Year A, Easter 3, is 1 Peter 1, verses 17 to 23. This is picking up again from last week, from chapter 1, continuing the discussion of what happens to us because Jesus died and rose again. Peter says here, or the author says here, if you're going to invoke the one who judges all people impartially, then you better live in reverent fear. And goes on to say, you know, you have been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Then he says, this is the same Christ who was destined from before the foundation of the world, but has only been revealed lately according to God's plan. And so that is why you've come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead. And so now you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Right? Yes, of course you have. Sure. So that you have genuine mutual love for one another. So you've been born anew, and not to a perishable but imperishable life. So we're going to take a look now at EyeSmart illustration and special effect, BodySmart illustration and special effect, NatureSmart illustration and special effect, and SelfSmart illustration. And Molly's going to start us off with the EyeSmart.
And we're looking at the very first verse about the one who judges all people impartially. I was reading some commentary about this and came across Alexander McLaren. Yeah, I seem to be hitting on him these days. Speaking of this particular idea of God being an impartial judge, he says this: "Mountains are elevated, valleys are depressed and sunken, but I fancy that the difference between the top of Mount Everest and the gorge through which the Jordan runs would scarcely be perceptible if you were standing on the sun." That's kind of also sort of a nature smart, but the reason I put this in EyeSmart is because I think you could probably present that as a visual image. And there's also some spatial relationships there as well, mm-hmm. of, you know, the, mm-hmm. the top of Mount Everest and the valley or river gorge valleys. I mean, there's some great differences in heights there. You could even probably, if you wanted to, project that as you're talking about it, about, you know, God shows no impartiality, and for God, everything is on the same level. The idea of, you know, if you're standing on the sun, there's no difference between the Grand Canyon and Mount Everest.
Yeah.
It's all on Earth.
Yeah.
And your feet are burning, so you wouldn't really care. So also, so that's an illustration. Also looking at verse 18 about the feudal ways inherited from your ancestors, David found an illusion, a magical illusion as a special effect. We have a link to it on the show notes called My Lousy Inheritance. Kind of goes along with the idea of, you know, sometimes what you get ain't so hot.
It's not a great illustration of the point, actually, but that's the name of the trick, and that's what came up. So you can use that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
For Body Smart, we're looking at verse 21, that you have come to trust in God, and your faith and hope are set on God. And so we're looking at, we have some illustrations here for you, and we have a number of links of balance. And so the first is a balance board. It's one of those short boards. It's like a skateboard without wheels, and it's set on a cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stand on that
and balance it.
Yeah. And it's supposed to, well, I mean, it's kind of impressive what people can do with that, and just being able to
balance
would be pretty impressive for me. So there's that. And then there are a couple of sciencey parlor tricks, if you will, or tavern tricks. Balancing nails on a point. You take about a dozen nails and say, how can you balance these all on the head of one nail?
And you can. So go watch the video.
If you're clever, you can do it. And similarly, balancing a drinking glass on three butter knives on top of three soda bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. So all of those balance tricks give a sense of putting your trust in God, and that God is a good, sound foundation
on which to balance things.
Mm-hmm. And so for special effect, do one of those tricks, or just pile some blocks, try balancing some blocks on an object that would otherwise be unstable, like an upside down.
We've done this one before, yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. Do the upside down pyramid thing, so show that's instability, and then flip it right side up. And
yeah.
I don't remember when we did it, but that's a familiar thing. It's ages ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Year C.
We put them in Body Smart because of the balance aspects here, and balance is a body thing, but there's also some math for the science, and iSmart for the visual effects.
For Nature Smart, we're looking at verse 22 about the purifying of the souls through obedience. It might perhaps be something like purifying metals through electrolysis, and we have a link to some video of showing how that happens, how you can affect a purification process for metals by
running electricity through them.
Yeah.
And so you've got a beaker with some solution in it, and you've got some pure metal that you're...
And then it kind of comes impure. Out grainy.
Because it's just atoms piling up.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then they take that and then reconstitute it, and then you get metal.
Yeah.
Pure metal. Yep. Yeah. So that's an interesting illustration. We have a link to a video that shows some of that. It's a little long, so you might want to just clip parts or, you know, watch it yourself so that you can speak intelligently about it. But then maybe for a special effect, do some electrolytic plating, and we have a link for that as well. Could be fun.
For self-smart, looking at verse 18, which says, you know that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors. So that's kind of a running theme here. And we have a quote from Maya Angelou, and it says, during bad circumstances, which is the human inheritance, you must decide not to be reduced. You have your humanity, and you must not allow anything to reduce that. We are obliged to know we are global citizens. Disasters remind us we are world citizens, whether we like it or not. Then we also have some ideas from an article on how to detox your soul. as per verse 22, now that you have purified your soul with obedience. So we have a link to that. You can take a look at that. And let's go on.
The gospel lesson for the third Sunday in Easter year A is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. This is yet another story about the day of resurrection. This is the story of two disciples, one named Cleopas and another that we have no idea who that is, going to Emmaus. And as they are on their way to Emmaus, Jesus himself draws near to them and goes along with them, but they don't recognize who he is. And so he engages them in conversation and asks them why they look so sad. And they say, are you the only one who doesn't know about what just happened in Jerusalem a couple days ago? And so they go on and they tell about Jesus. And so he says, this is something else you should know. And so they get into this really awesome discussion as they're on their way. And they get to where they're going and Jesus is going to go on. They say, no, stay with us, stay with us. So they do, and they have dinner and he breaks bread and he gives it to them and they go, oh, and then he's gone. So anyway, it's the story of the road to Emmaus. So tell that however you would like to. We have some special effects and illustrations in Word, Eye, Math, Nature, and People. So we're going to start out with a special effect in Word Smart.
Yeah, it's kind of halfway between special effect and illustration, I suppose. It is a haiku, an haiku, depending on how you like your words.
Over easy.
Anyway, an haiku about this passage. So it's by Bob Elden from Preaching Tip. And we've got the link for you. But it goes like this. Bread broken slowly. What is shattered knits wholeness. Recognize him now?
That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Bob Elden also suggests at his commentary at preachingtip.com that the actual Emmaus may not have existed, or at least it doesn't exist anymore. Archaeological evidence has not found any indication that it is there anymore. And so he suggests that, well, maybe Emmaus just might be the place to go when things are hard and we need to get away. And so that got us to thinking as an illustration for iSmart, those old Southwest Airlines commercials, the wanna get away commercials, where something doesn't go quite the way you
awkward.
Had hoped it would.
Awkward.
And it would be kind of nice to get out of town for a while. So there's kind of a connection there with the idea that maybe the disciples were on their way to Emmaus because it had just been one heck of a weekend and maybe they were going home. Maybe that's where they were from, and they were returning to their old life. And, some stranger comes up next to them. So we put that in iSmart because there's a lot you can play with that that's visual and spatial. A special effect that you could use for iSmart that goes along with this idea of the disciples being with Jesus and not recognizing him is to do an optical illusion. Have everybody roll up their bulletins or a piece of paper if they've got some access to it and look through the tube with your right eye and then take your left hand and put it against the tube at the far end. Keep both eyes open and see what you see. What you see is a hole in your hand. And so this sometimes you just can't see something that's right there in front of you.
For Math Smart, looking at verse 25, which says, then he said to them, oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. Got to thinking about resistance to new technologies. And I know some folks who are slow of heart to believe when it comes to new tech stuff. So got to thinking about that. And so we've got a link for an article that suggests some reasons why people are resistant to new technologies. And one of the reasons that the author offers is that people tend to be resistant to technology when it appears to diminish people's humanity and that they are more accepting of it when it...
So that's why the older generation doesn't like
enhances,
Facebook?
Enhances, yes. Yes, exactly. So if it enhances humanity, then it tends to be welcomed. Interesting article. I encourage you to take a look at that. But we've been slow to adopt many new technologies along the way. And this author gives several examples, tractors, cell phones, margarine, you know, things like that. And but eventually somebody finds the way into it to say, no, look, this is good for us.
And so they interpret it for
people. Yeah, it's a matter of either interpretation or finding the niche that it fits to enhance people's lives instead of diminishing their humanity.
So Jesus was interpreting for these two on their way to Emmaus.
Yeah.
He was finding their niche.
Yeah. So it is for us too. You know, we've been kind of slow to adopt the resurrection as a way of being, as a way of life. Yeah.
I suppose that's why it's taken over 2,000 years for him to come back.
Could be.
For Nature Smart, we're looking at an illustration of Augustine and the seashell, the story of Augustine contemplating the Trinity as he's wandering along on the beach one day, and he sees this little kid playing with the seashell, trying to fill up a hole he had dug in the sand with a seashell by running out to the ocean, getting water, and bringing it back in. And Augustine says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going to fill up this hole with the entirety of the ocean." And Augustine says, "Yar? Really? I don't think that's going to work." And the kid turns to him and says, "What does he say?"
"It's no more impossible than you trying to figure out the mysteries of the Holy Trinity with your limited mind."
And so Augustine is a little taken aback, looks around for some help, turns back, the kid's gone. So there's the story. We have the link to that. So perhaps, maybe, when we contemplate the mysteries of God's activity, the messenger must disappear. So for a special effect, you could use a seashell to lift and pour water in the baptismal font while reflecting on the mystery of the resurrection.
For people smart, have you ever asked someone to talk to your kid or a friend or a relative about something that you've tried to talk with them about forever, and you've gone over it and over it and over it, but they, because it's you, they don't hear you anymore? And you think maybe that if they hear it from someone else, it might sink in? Well, maybe that's what Jesus was doing, being that someone else, because the disciples just couldn't get what he wanted them to know if he were being himself.
Well, yes, that is a very good point. I think that may be part of what he was doing, but also he had been dead and they hadn't seen him yet. And if he walks up as himself, it might have, you know, precluded them being able to hear anything, because they would have been fainted dead away going, "Oh yeah. My God, it's God."
Yeah.
Funk.
Yeah. So they get to have that experience.
They do.
But after they get the Bible study.
Right. And it makes sense for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I like that thought.
Yeah. So people smart, those sorts of interactions, and everybody's had that sort of experience on one side or the other, so they should be able to connect with that. Then for special effect, we have a reader's theater script for this text, which brings out the differences between the two disciples. Somebody suggested, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, that said, if you read this text right, you can hear the two going back and forth. It's not just one voice here.
Right.
And the one is like, "Oh, we thought he was going to be, yeah, but he's been dead for 3 days. Yeah, but we, you know, one of the women went to the tomb and yeah, but they didn't find him." You know, it's like that. And so we've broken it out so that you get those two different parts.
Yeah.
And we gave Cleopas the hopeful part. But I'm not sure that that's right as I was looking at it, actually.
Really? Why?
Well, because he's the one that starts off, "Are you the only one in this city who hasn't heard?"
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
So he might be the cynic, after
And the other
all.
One is the more hopeful one?
Yeah. The other one, maybe the other one was Luke.
Well.
Nah.
We don't know. It could have been the beloved disciple, the one who's never named
right,
in John.
Yes. So,
well, actually, I read something somewhere that said it might have been his wife.
Oh, yeah.
They were going home.
Well, could be.
The whole thing was over with. Jesus was dead. Yep. Let's go back to
Show's
life.
Over.
Yep.
Hate these tragedies, man. I prefer a light romantic comedy. Anyway.
That's it.
Is that it?
I think so. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
This is a Whippet Good production.